We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
far.
If the
Bucks do win it all, Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Eurostep Podcast Network and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Ty Windisch here on Monday morning, more on that in a second, with my delightful, refreshing co-host, Rohan Kadi. Also spooky. You're also spooky. Happy Halloween. But Rohan, how's it going?
You know, spooky season is in full effect. How can you not love it, Ty? We both had a, we would say, a fun Halloween weekend. Happy to be here. Happy to be talking some Bucks basketball on a Monday. You know why that is, Ty?
Why?
Because we're going to try to stick to a schedule.
Hey.
We're gonna try our best to actually give you a new episode every single Monday that you can look forward to. It's just going to help build a routine for you guys, for us, and throughout the slog of an NBA season.
Yep.
So expect new Eurostep every Monday.
And more. We're not saying we're just going to do one pod per week. Obviously, big games, big news, whatever else. There's interviews, more interviews this year, hopefully. But yeah, I think we're
plus
excited.
Win in six.
Plus Win in Six, of course, but strictly from the Eurostep side, plus collaborations with Win in Six and those episodes. But there will be more than one episode a week, but there will be a Monday episode. We're going to test this already next weekend. Rohan will talk after we record. But I think outside of that, we're excited and we'll figure it out. But yeah, Monday pods every week to talk about the previous week in Bucks basketball and more. And also a central big topic. If you all been listening, you know, we've kind of been going through just what we've seen pretty much from every player in the rotation as we record, you know, the last couple games, however many games there's been. We're going to continue to do that, but we want to kind of focus a central question or topic in the episodes as well. So today's episode, as you can see, Bucks are 5-0. That's terrific. That's amazing, actually, without Chris Middleton, Pat Connaughton, Joe Ingles, yada, yada. But the offense has not been ideal. I look, they're actually, for offensive rating, they're just meh. They're 16th in the league, so just below like the middle of the NBA. Not as bad as I thought, but if you look at true shooting percentage or effective field goal percentage, they're bottom 10, I think nearly bottom 5 in true shooting percentage. So clearly the offense, you know, despite them scoring enough points to win 5 games, has not been ideal. Flip side, they're first in defense. The defense has been monstrous. But Rohan, let's kick off this first convo here. Is the Bucks offense a problem? Should we be worried about this? Or is this variance? Is this just missing Chris and Pat? Where do you come in on Milwaukee's pretty lackluster offense so far?
This is it's a good topic to start your week. I'm sorry, I'm still on a Monday thing. It's a
big Monday guy. You're anti-Garfield.
Start your week off right. That's a saying, right?
Yeah,
you can Euro start your week off right. Is that anything?
That's our thumbnail for the episode. I don't know if that anything besides that.
Okay, you know what? Let's move on. Let's forget that happened. The offense. It's a, like you mentioned, no Chris, no Pat, no Joe Ingles. It still feels a little bit too heliocentric right now. I think that's a good word to describe it. Because what we've seen a lot in these games is if Giannis does not have it going, the Bucks offense does not have it going. And look, you can say the Bucks live and die by Giannis. That's true that they're only going to go as far as Giannis takes them. But that's because he's the best player on the planet. That's what's going to happen when you have a team built around Giannis. But right now, these first five games, it kind of feels like it's just Giannis. It's not like Giannis plus other pieces. It's just Giannis. Like, you have other guys trying to create stuff. Like Jrue Holiday, we've seen him be overtaxed with an offensive load in the past. We've seen strides from guys like Javon Carter, who's been doing, I think, a great job in the starting lineup. You see a guy like Grayson Allen, who we've been talking about, and I've been on the Grayson Allen redemption arc train this season, but you just see him being a little too decisive on drives rather than shooting some open shots. You just see a lot of guys trying to figure out their way around this offense, even though this is the same roster that we had last season, that this team had last season, but they still can't really figure it out. Is it variance a little bit? Sure. Like, are guys missing open shots? Sure, but that happens to everybody, every team. That happens. The question is it really a systemic thing, or is it just something that's you're missing key offensive contributors like Chris Middleton, big part of the Bucks offense? Yeah, it's easy to write this entire thing off and say, oh man, once they get Chris back, it'll be fine.
Correct.
But Chris doesn't play 48 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I think it is. Let's make this known. We obviously expect the offense to be worse now than it will be when Chris is back. Like, I think sometimes when I've kind of noted or talked about the Bucks offense and things that they need to do to improve in the very short term, I'm getting a lot of like, do you know that Chris Middleton? Like, no, I didn't realize that. I watch every game. I talk about him online for hours a day. Totally forgot that guy existed. Obviously, they're going to be better when Chris gets back. But they had to play a full playoff series without him. They're playing without him right now. Like, the games without him still exist, and it's still worth trying to improve in those games. And as you say, even when Chris is healthy, you still need to be able to play when he's not on the court. And obviously, it's easier. There can be no minutes in big games where there's not, you know, one or two of the big three and at least one of Chris and Giannis, which helps a ton. But I think for me, when I look at it, it's a little bit of bad decision making. Grayson has some awful passes, some really bad drives.
It's not the passes for me. Like, it's the drives.
But he's made some. I've just seen him throw. This. It's passes after a drive are probably what I'm thinking of the most, because I can think of one example in particular where he is he doesn't seem to want to shoot off of movement much, which is an issue. And I know that's been noted on Twitter a bit as well. And it's a good flag to watch. He really likes to be set, it seems. He'll dribble up, but if he's going around a screen, he tends to drive those if there's someone closing out on him. But like, he'll kind of get in the paint and just, like, he's missed a couple runners. He doesn't want to shoot a runner. He kind of just gets hung up in midair and just like lofts a ball backwards. And it's like an instant fast break for the other team. So I'll agree with you that it's drives more. It's also just he's not hitting any of the shots that he's taking. So I think there's a little bit of heliocentricism that's a problem. There's also a little bit of Grayson is shooting 32% from three. Bobby Portis is shooting 33% from three. Brooke Lopez predictably has cooled off to 35% from three. George Hill, 36%. Javon Carter, 27%. Wesley Matthews, 33%. I actually think that I agree they need to get the ball in more guys' hands for sets. I think they've done a pretty good job at opening shots for all of those players. And there's been so many games where, especially the Knicks game, the Hawks game, they had opportunities to put those games away and the shots just didn't fall. And, you know, there's you can say they need to get to the paint more, yada, yada, whatever. You know, a lot of the times the paint's kind of walled off because teams know to do that, or bury it off because teams know to do that. You just got to hit the shots. And I just think, you know, we can talk about strategically what we want to see. I do think there's some variance at play, and they should be closer to 10th than 16th. But like all of these guys who we know can knock down shots are just not. And it's, I don't, there's only so much you can do about that, right?
Yeah, for sure. Just getting back to Grayson quick about him not wanting to shoot off movement. Just shoot the shot, man. You're a good shooter. Like, sure, you're in a little bit of a rough shooting stretch right now, but your career has shown that you are a good shooter. That's what this team needs you to do. Shoot the damn ball.
He and Javon both. And I know Javon did not have a great game against the Hawks. I mean, certainly had trouble with Trae Young, which is understandable. Didn't add all that much offensively. The Knicks, I think that was his best game of the season because, as you say, Grayson should do. He just shot the ball. And I think that's been my biggest flag with him is he's done a little too much driving, not quite enough open shooting. But he took 13 shots, including 11 threes against the Knicks and scored 14 points. I mean, that's obviously a ton for a guy who's averaging 4.6 points per game as a starter getting real minutes. I just think that's a lot of the issue. I think credit to Bobby Portis, who the shots aren't falling, but he is certainly getting them up from two and three. Grayson, I mean, it's not like he's not shooting. He's attempting, you know, nearly 9 shots per game, nearly 6 threes per game. I think he just, like, I don't know if it's a confidence thing or if it's just bad luck and a bad shooting spell for him. And like I said, basically everyone. I mean, no one shooting above 36% besides Jordan Wara from three. Jordan Wara, Serge Ibaka, and Marjon Beauchamp. And two of those guys have combined to take, like, you know, not a lot of total shots, we'll put it that way, from distance. I don't know. I don't know what it is exactly with the threes, but certainly would like to see Grayson just keep pulling those things because, you know, we like that he can do more offensively than a Bryn Forbes, but also, you know, maybe I think there just needs to be a middle ground found there on what he's doing and what he's not doing.
Fair. And, like, we've wanted him to do more things in the offense. Like, let's not say he shouldn't do anything else in the offense.
Yeah.
Because you need that offensive versatility to really stay on the court when the games matter. Like, you need that. Otherwise, people are just going to stick a guy on you. And if you're not doing anything, you're not really helping the team offensively. But, yeah, it's just, like, even though he needs to keep shooting, a lot of the other guys, it's tough. I'm sort of in this mindset where I keep thinking about what really is the issue here. And I just keep thinking about these possessions where you just have, like, Javon or Drew just having the ball on the perimeter. Some guy sets a screen, they come, they switch, the defense switches, or they just contain the screen because they just pop. There's no role. There's no hard roles on this team at all right now. Like, Bobby's not going to be a hard roller. Serge is not going to be a hard roller. And even if he is, you do not want to give him the ball inside the arc because he's just going to moisturize it out into the stand. If Brooke's not going to be a super hard roller because he's just going to be trailing back on defense.
Brooke and Giannis sometimes, but it's rare. Like, yeah. They've both gotten some oops this year, but it's not the norm.
Listen, Brooke doesn't get into the half court until, like, there's 10 seconds left on the shot clock anyway. And Giannis is Giannis. I'm not going to say anything about Giannis, but, like, there's no other rollers on this team. So you see Javon and Drew just sort of have a screen, they pop, and then there's just 8 seconds went by and nothing happened. Then you're waiting for someone to come off a cross screen and drive, maybe, if there's any separation, and then, oh my God, the shot clock's done.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen that possession. I've seen that story too many times this season. And it's just, it's a question of, is there not enough dynamism in the offense, aside from Giannis? Obviously, I'm saying this all sans Giannis.
Yeah.
Like, is there not enough dynamism? Is there not enough burst? This is something that I've been harping on for years now. And part of the reason I'm so excited about Beauchamp is because you have a guy who can be a burst athlete. Is there just not enough of that? Is there not enough quick decision making? I don't know. It's a little too early to tell still, but I'm going to be watching that going forward to see what exactly happens on those possessions, because those are the ones that sort of drive me insane. And a lot of the times when Giannis isn't on the court right now, those are most of the possessions for this team. There's not really an action. You're trying to set up a post guy, whether it's Bobby or whether it's Drew. Drew tried to bully Trae Young so much when he got cross-matched onto him because they were trying to hide Trae Young, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just like, what's your offense outside of Giannis? Is it Drew Holiday and Bobby Portis post-ups? Is that it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was great to see in the Atlanta game Drew finally really get going in one of his best offensive games in a
It was a masterclass.
Yeah. And the Bucks certainly needed it with Giannis, you know, coming back to earth a little bit. Field goal percentage all the way down to 60% for Giannis. He really needs to work on that. Only 34 points and 17 rebounds for the big guy.
Okay, can we say that? That is the it's the fakest 34 and 17 I've ever seen.
Well, fourth quarter, he was very good. A lot of free throws.
He had 12 of his 34, I think, in the fourth.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's...
Because it was not a great game.
No, but that's he's at that level now where he can just grit through it and like you still even if it's a fake 34, you still need him all. You know, in a game that close, you need every single point you can get. And I just love that he's at that level now where like the Giannis bad games, it's like high 20s, low 30s in points, 15-ish rebounds.
I mean, it was a below average scoring game.
Yeah, yeah. Just barely. He's down to 34.4 now, but yeah. But Drew, it was great to see that. I think Drew just hitting more of those shots would, I think, help everything too, because I think he is a player, like, he gets into the teeth of the defense, like, he'll get near the rim, all the shots, I think he feels are open because of the step back, but he is a guy who can generate his own look all day. They just haven't fallen. A little concerning.
Because, like, that's not his game.
I mean, he does it a lot.
I mean, he does it a lot, but how often is it efficient throughout his career? I'm not talking step backs in general, because like I've said, last season, he was one of the most efficient step back shooters in the entire league. But I'm saying, like, Drew Holiday gets these looks. There's no doubting he's a great shot creator for himself and for his teammates. His passing vision this season is on another level.
Up to 8 assists per game.
He's been a great playmaker ever since his time in Milwaukee. I mean, before then too, but especially during his time in Milwaukee. But this season, it's just incredible. Like, we talked a lot last season about how even like the bad Drew scoring games, it's kind of different than an Eric Bledsoe bad shooting game, because he's still getting all of his teammates involved, racking up the assists and setting people up for good shots. Like, that's undeniable. But I'm saying, in terms of creating his own shot, getting his own shot, that's like, he can do it. The shot's never really been there, though.
Well, I don't know, but the interesting thing is it feels like he's using his strength more to leverage the step back, and that has been a great shot for him. So it's the rim thing that's a problem, but I think you can't give up on it. The frustrating thing is he gets there. That's the hard part for most players.
The thing is, step backs – here's the thing on step backs versus rim pressures. Step backs don't help the team's offense at all.
Unless they go in.
I mean, yes, obviously, but what I'm trying to say is
– I know what you're saying. It doesn't open anything else up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm explaining it to the listeners, Ty. This is a podcast.
No, I know. I just want to engage.
I get it.
The Rohan Kadi show featuring Rohan starting right now. Go ahead. I'll mute. Go on. Sorry to interrupt, sir.
No, you got it. You got it. But like, if Drew's attacking the rim, he's pressuring the rim, that allows other guys to move, to cut, to draw in defenders, to leverage the defense for the other players. While step backs don't really. Obviously, if the step back goes in, that's a good shot. That's good offense. You're scoring buckets. That's good. At the end of the day, the goal of basketball is to put the ball in the hoop more than the other team. And half of that is actually putting the ball in the hoop. So you need to do that. But like you mentioned, he can get to the rim. He's leveraging his strength, like you mentioned, really, really well to get those looks. But it's a testament to what he's been doing in Milwaukee his entire career in Milwaukee. It's not efficient. It's really not efficient. Like, sometimes he'll throw up wild shots. Like, he threw in last night against the Hawks. We're recording this on a Sunday. He had a lefty hook that went off glass in. Like, that went in. It's not good process, though. Like, he got I think it was off an offensive rebound or something, that he just like threw it up, and I was like, okay, sure, like it went in, but how often is that going to go in?
Yeah,
like, if you're banking lefty hooks in, I don't know, like, if you're just prime Kareem out here, like, I don't know. But it's just my thing with Drew, just to sum this all up, is he's getting good look. It's just, it's not his game to be an efficient scorer in that manner.
Yeah, I think that's the effect directly of not having Chris, because he has to take him, because he's still getting nearly 10 assists per game. He's passing as much as he can. The issue is he's got to anchor lineups without Giannis a lot of the game, and there's just not players outside of Bobby who's going to take the same three kind of shots Bobby Portis takes all game. There's just not guys who are taking enough shots, so he has to.
I think I figured it out. There's not enough rim pressure on this team.
Yeah.
Efficient rim pressure. It's only Giannis.
Yeah, I mean.
Who else is attacking the rim consistently?
I mean, it depends how you count. Like, if you don't want to say, like, if you're talking about drives, not really anyone. Grayson tries; he's not good at it.
It's like there's no one else on this team who can really force that, and that's the bread and butter of this Milwaukee Bucks team is rim pressure driving the rest of their offense. And right now, they don't have anyone else.
No, but I mean, you can rim. They rim pressure through dunker spot, and they have a lot of guys who are capable of doing that.
Okay, like, sure.
And Drew gets there. It's just Drew does pressure the rim. He does. The shot doesn't go in a lot of the time.
But yeah, the pressure is there, problem.
And he opens up. But he opens up a lot of fair. But I don't know if it has to be because he does get there and he does move the defense that way. I don't know how many teams have five guys who are getting consistent.
I'm asking pressure. For two.
I think Drew and Giannis.
Okay, three.
Almost Grayson.
Almost sure. I mean, like Bobby will run towards the rim sometimes. Are we counting him?
Hill is good for one or two a game.
One or two a week, maybe.
Yeah, it's probably more accurate. I think Pat would be fairly high on this list if he was playing, too. We've seen Pat like, have some great takes. That's what they're missing.
But that's a lot of the element is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
What they're missing right now is rim pressure.
Yeah. Juarez, no. No.
Oh, God, no.
Let's wrap up offense.
Third Ibaka.
Let's wrap up offense, and then we'll get to individual players.
The play where he left the ball behind.
Yeah, I was texting you about this. I mean... He
was
went
the,
to drive and
was
forgot
the
Knicks ball.
Game?
Yeah, it was the Knicks game. The ball was just behind him. I don't. It took him a while to realize. I think like he kept doing the dribble motion. I don't know.
I choose to see Serge in a funny manner.
I know you do.
I encourage everyone else to do the same.
And it's starting to piss me off because you're like you don't want to give him a down stock because of the comedic timing. Like that should not be a plus.
No. To preserve the integrity of the Bucks stock market.
Okay.
Give me a second. That was a bad play. That was obviously a bad play.
Yeah.
He was fine the rest of the way.
I know he was.
He was fine.
I think the thing with Serge. He has some really rough moments, but he's kind of inverse Wara, where like Wara will do something and you're like, oh my God, he's incredible. And then all the little things suck. Serge has done a lot of things fairly well, unremarkably well, but well. And then there's just like a play per game where you're just like, what just happened? How's that even possible?
Yeah. It's like he'll do the little things like box out the guy who's like trying to go for a putback and stuff like that. Make sure the rebound gets secured if he's going to tap it out to someone else. He'll block a shot here and there. He blocked a Derrick Rose jumper in the next game.
He's on every other game timing with that right now, which is fine. We'd like to see one per game, but he doesn't play a lot.
He'll get some offensive rebounds. He'll fight in there.
Yeah.
But then he'll have plays where he tries to drive and leaves the ball behind.
Yeah. I think overall, he's getting the job done. The job being, like, again, he's
surviving.
9 minutes per game of center play that you're defending the rim and spacing. That's it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Survival. Yeah. That's all Serge needs to do, and he's doing it.
Yeah. So and seems like a great dude, good locker room presence. One last note, and we
great
can
musician.
Also, yeah, fashion.
Have you listened to part of the album?
He's literally a 2K My Player. No, I haven't.
I've listened to some of the songs. It's actually pretty good.
Is this going to be your like your pregame music? Get your whole crew at the spot and then put on the new Serge Ibaka?
Yeah, that's what we're listening to at Milk.
Let's segue to players with Javon. And this is my last point on the offense in general. You know, we obviously love Javon Carter. 36% from the field, 28% from three. Some of that, again, is just a lot of guys are just not shooting as well as you'd expect. I just think it might sound weird. I want him to take more of those mid-jumpers because I think that it's not rim pressure, but I do think right now, and you said it well, I think Drew is commanding respect when he drives, even if the results are really mixed, because I think he has seen that way around the league, and he gets to the rim, and he's making a true impact. There's just too many Javon Carter touches right now where there's just not an impact. Like even the frustrating part about it is he'll get around the first layer of defense and then just pass it back out. Cause I don't know how comfortable he is driving to the rim. Obviously he's a smaller player. It can be hard down there with some of the, you know, rim protectors in the league. But he gets all that space for the midi and doesn't take it enough. And it feels like I don't have the numbers in front of me. And again, it's five games. But that's a shot he's clearly comfortable with. It looks good off his hand. I would like to see him take more of those from two and three. Like if he's going to start, I just think he needs – and he's going to be a primary ball handler, the third guy, but still one of them or maybe even fourth guy. I'd say he probably touches the rock more than Grayson though, honestly. He's got to just be more of a threat with it in his hands. And I just think, especially with Drew, I think we can safely say being more effective as a playmaker than a scorer right now. Like Javon just needs to add some more scoring. Because I think that's their big issue with the starters. And obviously these are a lot of their rotation players. It's just not enough guys who are willing to take advantage of space that the rest of the offense creates and take the shot. There's just too much of Grayson curling around open, Javon in the you know mid-range area open. Oh, pass it back out to Drew. And then Drew has to take a bad shot. Like, need to take advantage of those. Like, Brooke takes every shot. Bobby, we'll get to Bobby. He's made some really nice passes this year, which is a big deal. But he'll take the shots. Obviously, Giannis. Not enough guys, though, are taking the shots when they have advantages to do so. And I think that has slowed them down a lot in some of these games.
I pulled up the numbers. Do you want to know how many mid-range jumpers that Javon Carter has attempted this season?
So he is averaging 5 total shots per game, but only 1.4 of them are twos. So I'm going to guess he's taken 6?
Close, 5.
5, so 1 per game.
Yeah.
How many has he made?
3.
So 60%.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good shot for him. And I just think, and I know the way the Bucks are, I'm sure they're not encouraging. Maybe that's actually an interesting question because we know Bud and Chris early on did the middies thing and Javon Carter is not Chris Middleton. I don't know. I wonder, I mean, they've talked about glowingly in Jim Ozarski's piece about Javon's, you know, they talked about the jumper. That's an interesting question. I wonder if he's being discouraged to take them or not. Either way, I think he has to. I think that's maybe his best offensive weapon. And he needs to just be doing that more because he's good at finding space to take it.
Yeah, he's taken 2 shots in the paint this entire season. two. He's made one of them.
I was going to say, I don't think he's made both.
Yeah, one of one at the rim. The other one was sort of
like a floater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like 72% of his shot attempts this season have been threes.
Yeah.
Which is a little ridiculous. Stale. It's ridiculous. Like, sure, you want to work him into the offense a little bit. Like, it's going to take time. Obviously, this year so far is already a massive jump for him compared to what he was doing last season with the Bucks. So I think it might just be like slowly working that in a little bit, sort of ease him in. Like, we're five games in.
Yeah.
We'll see if that continues.
Do you think he's going to keep starting until guys get healthy?
I think so. It's working out well. They're undefeated.
Do you think if Pat gets back first, Pat would start first before Chris?
I don't think so. I don't think so either. Yeah, I think Pat really, really works well off the bench.
I think there may be a case. Later this year, we're going to revisit, as we always do. I think there's a shot we're overthinking it. We'll see. A lot of players have a lot of games to play still. But Drew, Pat, Chris, Giannis, Brooke might just be the best group to start. We'll see. We'll see how everyone sees it.
It's the best finishing group for sure.
Yeah. Which
overall.
At a certain point, then
it's matchup dependent too.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen Bud go with different closing lineups this season based on who they're playing.
I like the Javon George backcourt plus Drew. They've been doing the three guard thing the last two games. I like that lineup.
They've been changing, like, they've been sort of shifting a lot. They went like three guards. They also closed with the jumbo Bucks yesterday. Yeah. Like, they went full Brook, Bobby, Giannis. It's interesting. I think Bud's having some fun this season so far.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
We should have given Bud an upside last game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always tough with coach and GM. Horace probably won't touch. Horace, best way to get one this year, outside of obvious, like, making a good move. Ingles looking good would be massive for Horace stock.
Or if Beauchamp really does
That's
something
true.
Wild.
Yeah.
Or if, like, Javon Carter has like a 50-point game, yeah, we might give Sean Marks an upstock for that one. Fun story about Sean Marks: when Steve Nash got ejected in the Brooklyn game, Sean Marks left and never came back. Like, he went straight to the locker room, never came back.
He might have just gone back to Australia. He might have said, you know what, I've had enough. I'm going to work remote for a couple of weeks.
I wouldn't blame him.
I would not blame him.
Man jumped out of his seat as soon as Steve Nash got ejected.
If I was Steve Nash, I think I'd try to get ejected from every game rather than coach the Brooklyn Nets at this point. Enough Nets talk.
Yeah.
What player do you want to talk? I think we've done a decent amount of Javon. What other players should we talk about? I'll phrase it this way. Sorry. One, should we be worried about the offense? That is the question in the title. What do you think?
A little bit.
I think a little bit, but not really.
I think it's a wait and see sort of thing.
It's a wait and see. I think they can get better in this current mode. They're also just going to be way better when Chris is back. But I think
and Pat
and maybe Ingles. But I think if Grayson is shooting 42% instead of 32% so
far. AJ Green also. What happened to him? He broke his nose?
I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty minor thing, I think.
Breaking your nose?
Yeah.
Like, how did that happen? Did he get punched in practice? Like, who's punching
him? Could have ran into a wall or something. Who knows? I don't think he got punched. It happens.
Ty, did you break your nose running into a wall?
No, I broke it. We were playing basketball, and I got a basketball hit by a baseball bat into a tree and then into my nose.
What?
Yeah, it looks – if you look from the side, hold on. See that?
YouTube viewers,
like,
enjoy this.
It's kind of like – it's like a big – there was always a little bit of a bump, but it got definitely more refined post – that's the last time I played basketball. Anyway,
I don't think I've ever played basketball.
It's a dangerous game, especially in an alley, a gravel alley.
What? How old were you?
I don't know, 12. This isn't last year, Roman.
I'm glad.
Yeah. But no, I think if Grayson and Javon Carter are in like around 40% from three, I just think they all look much better because I think they are doing a pretty good job of opening up shots for their guys. They're just not hitting them. But we'll obviously stay tuned to this. Which Bucks player has impressed you the most over?
Oh, it's Brook Lopez.
Yeah, has to be. Talk about Brook.
So Brook Lopez, we've talked a little bit about the Bucks and their defensive scheme going into the season, where they're just going to try to stay home as shoot on shooters as much as they can. So you can sort of play pick and roll defense 2-on-2 and not leave guys open for three, don't overhelp, all that fun stuff. Brook Lopez has been an absolute monster this season so far. Like, sure, his offense was ridiculously good in the game against Atlanta. He started off 5-of-5 from three. He ends up being the third leading scorer on the team. He's been their second best player so far this season because he's been anchoring the reason that they're winning these games, and that is defense. You said it up top. They're not winning these games because of their offense. They're winning because of their defense. And Brook Lopez has been swallowing shots at the rim, swallowing shot attempts. He's averaging over 4 blocks a game, I think, still.
3.6 now, but 3.6 still now. League leading number.
It's ridiculous. All I can think about while watching Brook Lopez is back in his Nets days when Ian Eagle was on the call. Also, like, it's just the Nets broadcast is awesome.
It's really good.
Every time Brook Lopez would have a monster block, you would just hear Ian Eagle screaming, "Do not go in there." That's what I think about every time someone tries Brook at the rim this season, because they keep trying, Ty, but it keeps on being the same exact result. They're getting swatted. I tweeted this as a joke a few games ago, something about like his back surgery was actually an adamantium infusion, because that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
He's a monster out there, Ty.
Yeah.
His defensive instincts are so, so good. There was a play against the Knicks, I believe, where Julius Randle caught the ball sort of like on the baseline, like a few feet beyond the arc. And Brook Lopez, you would think, would shift his body. He was a little to the side. He would shift his body to get in front of Randle to try and go up for the shot. But no, he stays there knowing that a body would get him in a foul call. And all he does is wait for Julius Randle to go up. And he maneuvers his left arm around to block the dunk attempt, because Julius Randle went to go pound it on him. It's just that defensive instincts, the sort of touch and feel he has around the rim, both on offense, but especially on defense. It's unmatched so far. He's so far the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, 100% agree. Brook, looking at per 36, because he was playing a lot of minutes this year, he has not rebounded at this level since 2015-16, when he was 27 years old on the Nets. He's never taken this many threes, 8.6 per 36 minutes right now. His blocking has never even been close to this per 36. The closest he is, 3.2 in 1920, his second Bucks season, at 4.2 blocks per 36 minutes played. Absolutely monster numbers. And I just think everything about him looks great. And really, what if you think about it, you know, at the end of the day, in their base configuration, when they're not going small, this defense is more or less just a bet on Brook Lopez, right? Like, it's Brook cleans up everything. That's what they're playing. It's like it's a bet on all their players to just hold up. But also, you're never going to hold up 100%. That's just not how defense works. Despite what Kawhi Leonard may have thought in college, you know, do you remember that anecdote where they were talking about help defense, and Kawhi was like, why?
just
do
it.
Yeah, just I don't understand. Why would you not just do it? Like, it's so funny to hear like generational talented people talk about like, I just didn't understand why they just didn't smother the guy. That's a weird
Apple
decision.
Time, baby. Yeah. Apple time. Do you remember that?
Apple, yeah, it was fake, right?
Yeah, it was fake.
Boardman gets paid. But yeah, I think that's the, you know, you're always gonna get beat sometimes, and Brook is just mopping up everything, even if he's not getting blocks. He's super active on the boards, both help rebounding. I don't know if that's a term, boxing out, more common term, and actually grabbing rebounds himself more this year. He's been incredible and just giving them everything they need. Catching some oops when he's going down low. I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see more Brook rolling. I know it's tough because then he does have to get back. And if there's, you know, if the shot doesn't go in, there's just going to be a play that happens on the other end without Brook Lopez, which is tough. But it is, I think, maybe worth a little bit more, especially for the offensive looks you get there. But I understand. I mean, that's the other thing, too, about him taking almost all of his shots. Well, not almost all, but a lot of his shots as threes, is it just makes it so much easier for him to get back. And that's like, the Bucks always just lean defense over offense. I just feel like they think they can rely on it more. given the way their shooting tends to go in playoff series, that's probably a good call.
And right now.
And oh, yeah, and generally as well, yeah.
But no, like, I can't say enough about Brook Lopez's defense. It's just...
And just all, I think everything too. I just think he looks great in general. His movement, his fluidity, like, it's a huge deal.
Who knows how many years of this we have left? So let's appreciate what is there. And his jersey's going up, by the way.
Yeah, 100%. We're gonna have a busy ceiling in Fiserv, but it's well earned. Why would you not pay credit to these great players who literally got the Bucks a title and are hoping to not be done yet?
Yeah, number 11, right? I'm not embarrassing myself.
No, it's 11. I know. I'm not good at numbers. I'm not good at numbers. So 34, 22. What's Drew's number?
Well?
No, that's Grayson.
Oh, shoot.
I finally found someone worse at numbers than me. 21. 21.
I knew it was a 2-1.
21. Yeah. You were close. Those three, 11, 24.
Oh, yeah.
This right is up not, there if you're this watching this YouTube. This is totally unrelated to the Bucks, but 24 in the rafters. I think that's all I'm totally sold on for now.
We'll see what Bobby does.
Yeah, I think Bobby's probably the next closest.
Yeah. Wes Matthews, just for the meme.
I just don't think he's going to have enough time.
No, he's not.
Unfortunately.
Oh, 43. 43 is going up.
I think Wes should be a – do they have a Ring of Honor?
No, I don't think so.
They should see. There needs to be, because that's nice to like not have it all the way. Not have to retire everyone's number, but still honor the guys.
They should have a Ring of Honor.
Yeah, there should be. Those are good things to do.
Oh, number zero, Beauchamp's going to be a star.
Okay, let's. I want to talk about Bobby, who we just identified.
Let's retire our numbers, even though we don't have numbers. Let's hang them up. And
six for the sixth man. I think six is already retired by the Bucks, actually. Bobby Portis, I mentioned it earlier, I gave myself away, and he's still only averaging 1.2 assists per game. So it's not like he's looking like prime Chris Paul out there. But credit to him first.
Hitting threes to cut the lead to 42?
13-10 so far, which is like really important averages for this Bucks team, making a lot of hay on the offensive boards. 3.2 offensive boards per game for Bobby. I think he's really come alive these last three or so games. Just, again, they need him. They need everyone to come through and get these wins. And he's been great over the last few games here. But the short roll passing and some of the reads that he's made, I'm just not that used to seeing from him. I'm so used to Bobby locked in on just shooting no matter what. And as we've said, the Bucks need to be decisive, need to shoot, etc. But there is something to be said for, like, turning down an okay shot for a very good shot. And, like, he had one, I think, against the Hawks where he was basically more or less getting doubled in the painted area. And he kind of just finds Brook for a wide open layup. And it's just like, oh, you're not really used to seeing, you know, Bobby around the rim. Usually it's like, all right, this is my fadeaway. Like, this is
Bobby.
My time.
It's Bobby Portis time. Quote, yeah. Bobby Portis.
And I think one of them, too, was short roll and he got it out to a shooter. I need to watch and remember exactly. But I think the last two or three games now, he's been making passes where I go, oh, that's going to be really nice, especially when they're healthy, if Bobby is recognizing better and faster. Like, I've got kind of a guy and a half between me and the rim. Oh, Chris is right here. Oh, Giannis is moving. Oh, Brook is by the rim. That's the kind of stuff that just takes you from a good offense to a potentially great offense. I know we're talking about their offense has struggled, but that's the kind of little thing that can matter when they're at full strength and humming. Hope to see more of that from Bobby this season.
For sure, for sure. Like, just being able to see guys more involved, especially like I, excuse me, trying to get passes off, like trying to not be so laser focused on scoring in that, like on that particular play when you have the ball in your hands, just being able to read the offense, read the floor a little better. It's part of the linear development of Bobby Portis. Like, it's just going to keep getting better. Like, he's been adding to his game every year since he's been here in Milwaukee and just in his career in general. It's really, really good to see guys like, just move the ball more. That's how you get more open looks, more leverage the defense against you. Move the ball, recognize faults, recognize weaknesses that the defense is giving you, so you can sort of create open shots out of that. Turn down a good shot for a better shot. Just be the beautiful game Spurs. Like, if you can, there was one play that was highlighted during the Hawks game where it's like Giannis, I think, gives the ball to Javon Carter, who cuts to the rim, throws a behind the back pass to Brook in the corner. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. More stuff like that.
Yeah. More like, connective tissue. Like we always talked about George Hill, like seeing a little of that from everybody.
Exactly. That's what I love to see. So Bobby showing that is really, really good.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those where it's this idea of like, it's always useful to be able to score. And I think we should segue from this to Wara, because I think it's a very apt conversation to have. But it's always going to be somewhat useful to score. Like, you need points to win game. Point win game.
Yes. But, put ball in hoop.
Ball in hoop good. But there, it's more valuable within the context of an offense. And that's like Bobby, there's been times where he's almost like freelancing and they've needed it, especially some of the lineups. It's still important, but it's more important if he can be out there and just like the ball is zipping and he's getting open shots and he's helping other guys take open shots. That's how you really, really get to some fun places on offense. And maybe if there's more of that happening, we can have less of these playoff series where the Bucks defense needs to be impeccable for at least, you know, 4 out of the 7 games for them to win, because the offense just bogs down. So I think, you know, the new defense is being talked about a lot. I do think they're trying some stuff on offense too, more ball screens, more Spain pick and roll, that kind of thing. And that's, I think the Bucks are not just focused on defense. I think they would like their offense to be better as well. Jordan Wara, you know, it's easy to look at the stats and go, oh, he's 50% from three. You know, he's rebounding pretty well for the minutes he's playing. They're winning his minutes.
He's making big plays on boards, but he's had a couple offensive boards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what Jordan Wara's career, don't look, assist per game number is?
Like one.
0.7. Jordan Wara is averaging 0.2 assists per game this season. That's not his career low. His rookie year, he also averaged 0.2 assists per game. Like, come on.
Do you want to see 2 from him a game, right? Or was that someone else?
That was Grayson.
That was Grayson.
And I think he's doing it. 2.4. That's fine. You don't need to have 6 assists per game. And Wara plays less. I get it. It's still 15 minutes. Like, Wes Matthews has 0.8 assists per game. It feels like they barely dusted him off this year. It's just like being involved in the offense. He has 1 assist this season. 1. He's played, what was that? What's 15 times 5? 75 minutes more? He's 15.4, 80 minutes-ish, 1 assist? He's got the ball in his hands. I mean, he's not a primary ball handler, but he touches it. Like, it's just insane how little he's moving the ball for passes. A list of Bucks players with less assists per game. Marjon Beauchamp, who's played 9 minutes. Mamu, who's played 2.2 minutes. Serge Ibaka, which that one doesn't surprise anyone. And then Thanasis, who's played less than 1 minute. It's just like he's so disconnected.
This is like, people have been saying like, oh my goodness, Jordan Wara is really showing something. It's the same Jordan Wara.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but
I'm not seeing anything new.
The catch and shoot threes matter, but we'll see. It's such a small sample.
But like, this is why I've been down on him and why it's like, okay, sure. What are you going to do? Like, come on. Like, I would have preferred Lindell.
Maybe. I've said this, and I'm going to continue to say
convert,
it.
Convert Mamu.
I would like to see Beauchamp get, like, just give him the 15 minutes once. And let's just see how it goes. And he's hit a couple of shots.
He's the only player in the NBA to be shooting 100% from the field.
And now on 2 shots, he's doubled his volume total. I just think, I even right now, I think long term certainly, but I think even right now the upside is higher, because I just think there's more chance he fits in. And there's going to be some ugly moments. There's some ugly moments with Wara too. I think his defense has gotten better. He's not a stopper by any means. He makes some pretty bad decisions.
He's not
with
a
the ball.
Plus no. at all.
No.
Like, sure, maybe he's not as much of a negative as he used to be, but he's still not a positive contributor on the defensive end.
Yeah. I mean, again, knocking down the corner, the catch and shoot threes does matter.
So was Beauchamp.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. They, like, just give them a shot. Like,
they are averaging.
I'm not seeing anything different.
Despite some ugly turnovers by Beauchamp in the Hawks game, they're actually averaging the same amount of turnovers per game too. So,
fun.
Yeah. Although Beauchamp in much less minutes, so I guess that's a little misleading. But yeah, let's talk Giannis. We haven't really done that yet. Yeah. You ready for my stat?
Can I say something?
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
He's good.
He's not bad. Let's not get carried away. All right, here it is. Now I'm going to send right after I tell you.
You're
going
to live tweet.
Yeah.
We're exposing our recording time.
Yeah, we are. After going 1-for-1 last night, Giannis has knocked down a three-pointer in all 5 of his games this season, the longest streak of games with at least 1 made 3 to start a season in his career.
Ooh.
Shooting, I think, 35% total from 3, which is fine. But I think it is noteworthy. And I know there's certain people out there who will say, just don't even bother talking about it. Like, he's not going to be an elite three-point shooter. And I don't disagree with that. But I think everything matters. And I do think he's looked more comfortable. He's taken, feels like, more catch-and-shoot threes. He's not taking a ton per game. Like, I don't think this is the most he's ever attempted in the first 5 games. He's only at 3.4 attempts per game. I do think it's meaningful that he's just, like, consistently knocking down at least 1. It does matter. I think,
like, smaller volume, higher percentage. Like, yeah, you'll take that every day of the week.
And just, I think it's the consistency of hitting at least 1. It may sound stupid and not, it's not really a statistical thing, right? Because, like, you know, if you go 1-for-4 a bunch versus, you know, whatever, 0-for-3 and then 2-for-4, it's better the second one.
The Deion Waiters.
Yeah, exactly. But I think.
Whatever happened to Deion? Oh, wait, he had the plane.
Yeah, the gummy. Yeah, a lot. I hope Deion's doing well. But if you're knocking down legitimately at least 1 per game, I just think it makes the threat more real and it just makes it harder. Even if as a defense, you know, like, we can't worry about it too much because if we do, then he's already at the rim. And it also is nice because it kind of lets him save himself on some of these possessions, but I just think it makes it that much harder to guard him. And I think we've agreed, you know, all the obsession with what if Giannis could is annoying, and he's obviously already on a GOAT trajectory without that, but it still matters. It would still be impactful if he's going to continue to shoot 35% and legitimately space the floor that far out. And I think it's been a positive development, and I've not talked about it too much. There's so much other great stuff that he's doing, but I like to see him just, like, it feels less like an oddity now. It's not like, oh God, he's going to be one of his terrible 8 dribble threes. It's like, oh, he has some space. He pulls the three. He catches it open. He pulls the three. And it just, I think it's felt much better this year process-wise. Not looking at the jumper, but just when and where he takes them in the spots, I've liked it a lot better.
Yeah, it's more controlled. It's more or less like, there was a couple possessions throughout his career, like last season, let's say, where you would just see, like, oh, you know Giannis wants to pull up here.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can see it in the way he's moving. It's like, okay, Giannis is going to pull up here.
Yep.
There was one possession, I think it was the Knicks game, where I was thinking, okay, he's going to pull up. And he didn't. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I feel like he's been quicker.
Yeah, it's been more concise. Like, a lot of the times his off the dribble threes take, like, the entire shot clock. Because he just gets his guy moving and then does it. Like, it takes legitimately 10 seconds for him to do the move. But, like, his thought process, like, I feel like he was thinking about it too much. Now it's just like, okay, am I shooting this? Sure, let's do it. It's more of that. Oh, I'm catching the ball? Okay, I'm on the perimeter. Catch and shoot three. Easy, let's pull it. It's more habitual for him. It's more of a routine rather than a decision he has to make, if that makes any sense.
It does. I'm going to see if I can pull up quickly because they do have dribbles and everything. So this year, hold on, let me get raw numbers. I shouldn't have done this live. I apologize. This is not amazing audio experience. But this year, 3 of his 6 makes and 8 of his 17 attempts are no dribble threes.
How many? Say that again.
So 3 of his 6 makes and 8 of his, now I got to do the math again. You're putting me in a blender. 17, 8 of 17. So nearly half of his attempts are no dribble and half of his makes are no dribble. So I'm going to look up just last year and just see, just to confirm what I'm thinking about this, I mean, but it feels like it a tracks, higher percentage. Yeah.
It does track. Like, you see a lot less catch and shoot threes, to be honest.
Last season alone, he attempts 64 no dribble threes, 87 3-6 dribble threes. So just there's three other buckets that all have double digit numbers, but alone he took more 3-6 dribble than zero dribble. So yeah, it is true. Like, he is a much higher percentage of his total looks from three are no dribble. So that means either catch and shoot, or more or less it means catch and shoot, actually. But it's great to see that from Giannis, and I think that's going to help make those shots more legit. He's also shooting slightly better percentage on catch and shoot than pull up this year, which in the past wasn't always the case. I don't know if he was as comfortable with catch and shoot, but I think his stroke on those has looked good this year.
For sure. For sure. I'm glad you highlighted this, because I wasn't going to, but yeah, it's just like, sure. Does Giannis need the three ball?
No,
he doesn't. Like, he freaking won a title. He doesn't need it. He's the best player in the world. He doesn't need it. Would it up his chances?
Yeah. And the Bucks in general,
is
too.
Is it better? Yeah.
I do.
Is it necessary? No. He currently, he's sufficient, but not. You know, I'm gonna pull the plug.
I'll say this too. It is with Brooke out there, but especially in the small lineups, this kind of thing can, like, the guys who thrive in the dunker spot are just gonna eat now, because having to pay a little more attention to him when he's out in the perimeter. Like, the Pat Connaughton's really good at this. We'll see if Beauchamp gets the minutes, but it's gonna be very good for everyone. So that's my Giannis thing. Obviously, finishing at the rim, crazy. Still 60% from the field, 61% from free throw this year. 14 rebounds per game, like nearly 6 assists. He's just been amazing. A little bit of turnovers lately, but
MVP.
The load he's shouldering. Yeah, I think the case, Giannis MVP, Brooke DPOY is right there. Javon, you know.
Bobby's sixth man of the year.
Bobby's sixth man. Javon, the most improved player, is not looking amazing, but there's a lot of time. I think he's going to turn that around.
Who's MIP for you right now? Is it maybe Desmond Bane? Might be an all-star this year.
I don't like it, though, because, like, we knew.
Bane's already been really good.
Yeah, we knew. Like, I've been making Klay Thompson comps for a year. I wish that award we would just exclude. Like, I almost kind of like the NFL doing comeback player of the year better, even though it's a weird award. But, like let's say Javon, like, he turns it around. Let's say he averages like 10 points and shoots really well and is a top seven guy in the Bucks all year. That's a comeback, right? Like, he bounced around the league. He got cut at the last trade deadline. Like, I think that's worth awarding more than, like...
Yeah, I think Dennis Smith Jr. would win that.
That's a great... Yeah, Dennis Smith Jr. should win. And again, people are going to say, oh, he didn't even really play last year. Did he improve? Like, what is the qualification? But, like, Desmond Bane getting it, like, John Morant, it's like, yeah, of course. Like, we knew those guys were good. We knew they would get better, and they did. And I get it's called most improved. Maybe that's fair. But I think awarding someone like Dennis Smith Jr. is better than say, oh, congrats, Desmond Bane. You're also an all-star, so you kind of knew, but here's your most improved player as well.
Yeah. Like, did Giannis deserve that most improved player? Maybe.
Yeah. And maybe I'm a hypocrite, because I did argue Steph in his second MVP year because I thought he was so much better. It was insane. But that's kind of dumb too. I would prefer if it was. Let's highlight the true comeback stories, because there's some great ones every year.
Did you see Dennis Smith Jr., the play to send it to overtime?
He gets see the play. He's been great.
He gets a tying bucket against the Warriors to tie the game, obviously.
Yeah.
And then he clamps Steph to send it to overtime.
It's such a great story. And I think, too, between that and
this,
like,
guy, like, did you listen to the latest Low Post?
Yeah.
There's an anecdote about him trying to put on weight to go try out for the
football.
NFL.
Yeah. Well, and I think a cross-sport comp here, right? Like Geno Smith, right? A guy who seemed like would probably be out of the league, mostly a backup, even post-Russ trade. I don't think, maybe was not favored to get that job between Drew Locke over there, Waka Flocka's number one fan. And he gets the job, and he's been one of the best quarterbacks in football this year. And it's just like, not giving up on these guys is important, when the talent's there. Like, we don't talk about fit enough on teams and all the other stuff that goes into being a productive player. But I think highlighting more of those stories is good for the leagues because, you know, let's get away from just like writing off a guy's whole career if he has a bad 2 years on a Jets equivalent organization in a pro sports league.
That video of Drew Lock, what is he saying along to? Is it put on?
No, it's
what is it?
It might be No Hands.
No, it's not No Hands.
Is it not? Is it Hard in the Paint? I thought it was Flocka.
I don't.
I'll Google. I'm Googling.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about next?
I guess probably George Hill. He's the last guy we haven't really talked about. He's been exceptional. In his role, like we've talked a little bit about
it was put on. I don't know why
it was put on. Let's go.
Yeah, you're right.
So he's singing some Jeezy.
Yeah,
that's an elite video. Whenever that pops up on my timeline, I watch it like four times.
I really wanted him to be good at football because of that, but it turns out the correlation's just not there.
But George Hill, he's been doing exactly what we want him to do this season. He's been playing as a wing. He's been playing as a secondary and tertiary playmaker. Not a whole lot to say. He's been hitting some shots. He's been playing good defense. Nothing you can really be upset about. He's been the security blanket that he always has been, but it's just more of a reduced role, which amplifies himself.
Update your priors, people. I'm sick of the bad George Hill takes this year. This is it. We're 5 games in now. It's time to let it go. We understand the Celtics series was bad. Totally get it. He played through neck snap.
Couldn't move his arms.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, of course, and he shouldn't have been playing. Bud shouldn't have played him. We're past it. It happened. We're past it. He's been better than Javon Carter this year. And that's not, I'm not anti-Javon. Obviously rooting for them both and everyone.
In his role.
I think overall. I think if he started right now, it'd probably be better. But I get why.
We don't know that,
but I feel pretty comfortable because I think George is just really comfortable doing all of that stuff. But anyway. Don't need to open that rabbit hole.
He's not going to play that bulldog defense, though.
That's true. It is a big deal. And I think part of that, last thing on the starters, allowing Drew to pick whatever wing he wants and not have to worry about the small guards, that's a big deal. And I think that's an interesting thing. Part of me wonders, like, would we ever see Drew, Javon, Chris starting if Grayson's not hitting shots? I don't think so. But I do think they like the defensive versatility they get. And I think the difference between Wes versus Javon is like Drew kind of has to guard the guards then. And I think Javon on a guard and then Drew on any wing player, that's a lot of nice versatility for the Bucks.
Here's a lineup. Drew, Javon, Wes, Chris, Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, that's just Clamp City.
Yeah.
That could be the one against like if there's a Boston rematch, that could be the closing. It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, Chris is the weak link there.
Yeah.
And he's not a bad defender.
I wonder, would that be Javon on Brogdon, Drew on Jalen, Wes on
Brown. Yeah.
No, on Tatum.
Oh, you said Jalen. I thought you said
Jason. Yeah, no, Jalen. No, yeah. Well, whichever. We don't have to break down a Celtics series right now. George Hill. Yeah, I just think like people are still just like George Hill sucks. Like, what are you watching? Are you watching? Have you watched a game?
They're not. Watch basketball. It's fine. League Pass is half off. Than what it used to be. It's only $100 compared to $200.
Even like, if you're
watch some basketball.
Even if you're cherry, I mean, it's all Bucks fans. They can't watch the team on League Pass, probably. But
I mean, that's assuming they're in the Milwaukee metro area, Ty.
Well, all of Wisconsin.
Is it really all of Wisconsin?
Yeah. Oh yeah. God, I can't watch the Bucks on League Pass in Oshkosh. But like, even if you're just watching for George Hill's like foibles only, there just hasn't been that many. 55% from the field, 36% from three. 2.8 assists to 0.6 turnovers per game, like plus 10. He's always been a plus minus god. He's second on the Bucks right now, only to Giannis, despite playing only 23 minutes a game. Like, he's just been really good, and he just does everything that the Bucks need him to. Timely shot making, knocks down his free throws, averaging about 6.5 points a game. Like, it's just been great. It's been awesome, and you know, hopefully you can keep it up all year and all playoffs. And I really like that he, and we haven't talked about Wes either. I like that they're really limiting these guys' minutes because I think it would be easy to just say, all right, no Chris, no Pat. Again, Ingles, we just don't know how that's going to factor in at all. But okay, we'll just step up everyone's rotation minutes and Hill plays 30 and Wes plays 28. And they're just not. I think Wes will see more. I think maybe some of the injury factoring in there that kept him out in preseason, and they really want to take it slow with him. But I like that they're saying, no, Hill, you're going to play 23 a game. Like, Wes, probably get up to like 20 a game. Like, we're not going to wear you guys out in October. We want to win these games. Guess what? We are winning these games, even with war and the rotation and everything else. So I think that's a positive. But yeah, really have been encouraged by George Hill's play this year. The bounce back year that I bought into is happening.
You did. You did. Yeah. Just it's you're on the George Hill redemption arc. I'm on the Grayson Allen redemption arc. We like G's getting the come up. I don't know.
What?
Their names both start with G.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure. Like, listen. Okay,
how late were you out last night? How much sleep did you get? There's some questionable shots going up here, Rohan.
There's some questionable shots going up like yesterday too.
Yeah.
And shots I couldn't get up for.
Okay. We've entered the Rohan down horrendous segment of the pod. Personal favorite.
Let's move on.
All right. I don't know. Do we have anything to move on to?
That might be it. Move on, Ty.
To what?
You didn't move on.
What do you want me to talk about? That's everyone.
I don't know.
I don't have your fighter ready. Here, let me throw out a super obscure single game stat line and see if you can get it.
Are we done here?
I think we are. I think.
Okay. Do you know, the people are so confused.
Yeah, they are. Too many inside jokes. This Milwaukee Buck. No,
actually,
it was going to be DeAndre Liggins, but I couldn't get a good one in time.
DeAndre, do you see DeAndre Jordan hit his second three pointer of his career?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, end of the shot clock. He hoisted one. Day one signing for the Nuggets, baby.
Do you know I forgot Andre Drummond was still in the league?
Yeah, he's on the Bulls, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Andre Drummond, what a guy. But yeah, if we're talking about Andre Drummond and DeAndre Jordan, we'll say thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Eurostep Podcast Network. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this podcast platform of choice.
Ooh.
Oh,
we got a review. Keep going, but we got a review.
Okay, podcast platform of choice, YouTube. Make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review so we can read it out like we're about to do here with the review from this person who Ty is going to say, and he's eventually going to stop me because he's going to find it. I'm going to keep talking.
Oh, I've got it. I was just seeing how many we've got. So here's the thing. We've gotten some more Discord activity. A certain cosplayer as astronaut bought Twitter, and people are worried it's going to like go down the tube. So if you want to engage in Buck's discussion, join the GSPN Discord. You can find that and all things GSPN at the newly renovated GSPN.info. Pretty spiffy.
Looks good.
Shout out to Linktree. I did no work there. But you can get the Discord access link there. We've gotten a lot of new joiners soon. And you can join Apple Review 5 stars, Spotify Review 5 stars, or even just a Substack subscription. So no matter what platform you use, you're able to gain entry. And you can leave a review to be read on pod with the joining. So E. Szymanski, I believe his name is Eli from Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Left, here is this. Quote, left a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts last year. And so he did a Spotify too. He doubled up. That's a pro move.
Oh, wow. We love that.
More people need to do
that.
Shout
out to Eli.
Yeah. But okay. And have listened to every episode since. I love the balance of fun and analysis the guys incorporate in the episodes. The best MKE Bucks content out there. That's great.
That's very heartwarming. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that.
Oh, my heart is warm.
Yeah. It's a nice way to go.
Good. Yeah. It feels good. Thank you for that review. Like Ty said, if you want to have your review read, make sure you get into our Discord, gspn.info, or just leave it on Apple.
Yeah.
But if you want to do it the other ways, that's how you do it. gspn.info. There's a Discord entry form you can fill out. And so you can leave your review there too. But yeah, like we mentioned, make sure you subscribe to all of our podcasts here at the Eurostep Podcast Network. Talk of the Tundra, Cruising for a Bruising, make time for this. Check out the Win in Six episode. They dropped Thursday. They're going to be dropping episodes. It's on the same feed. Just go wherever you're listening to this. Just go back an episode.
Yeah, scroll down or up, depending on the orientation of your player.
Yeah, just do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you everyone for listening. Pod Random, and we will talk to you next time.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.